In 1939, I turned 12. We lived in an apartment block where I had a lot of friends I used to play soccer with. One day I went for our regular kickabout, but the minute I turned up, everyone stopped playing. One of them picked up the ball and they all turned to face me, staring, silent. And then I knew, now they know too, and they want nothing to do with me. I turned on my heel and left, and they got on with their game. The next day, my mother asked the mother of one of my friends what was going on. Her explanation was simple. The local Nazi group leader had summoned the mothers and told them, "Your children have to stop playing with this half-Jew." Only two mothers said to me, "You can come to ours and play. No one will see." I hardly recall visiting any friends in their apartments after that. I was simply too hurt. After all, I hadn't done anything. I was still the same person as before. It was they who had changed. Yesterday they were still my friends and now they weren't. That was very hard for me, because no 12-year-old lives in isolation but is always part of a group. Suddenly my group had gone. Shortly after the pogrom night in November 1938, my father was fired. Although he had been a Christian for many years, the Nazis considered him a racial Jew. Jews were forbidden to use trams, trains and buses. They were forbidden to sit on park benches, to own a radio, use a telephone, go to museums, theaters and concerts. They were simply shut out from public and cultural life. Once, because our apartment was so far from the Hoffmannstrasse tram depot, where he had to do forced labor washing trams, my father violated the prohibition on using trams and got caught. He was summoned by the Gestapo and beaten. They knocked out all his front teeth. That was the price he had to pay for infringing the law. My mother was a plucky and courageous woman. She never let my father go to the Gestapo alone, but always went with him. Although she couldn't stop them beating him up, she was at least there. Her presence gave him some moral support. People in Munich used to say, "Keep your mouth shut or you'll end up in Dachau." This enforced silence told one quite a lot. For instance, that Dachau was certainly no sanatorium. Now and then you would see concentration camp inmates who had to defuse unexploded bombs or fill in bomb craters after air raids.